Well, Mabel Louise, I guess we better talk a little bit. Yes, good morning to you. How are you today? It's great. It's a beautiful day.
It's wonderful.
Excitement of October here. It is our special,
I love October.
Special change of the seasons. Everybody's kind of coming in a little bit more, thinking about all the things that are going on in school. We're kind of settled into that more.
It's a nice month.
It is. It's very, very, and it's a month of some real difference in weather.
And this
is going to definitely be a week of that for sure.
Well, for sure. It's a beautiful day right here in Wisconsin. Hope it's beautiful where you are. There's beautiful sunshine and beautiful temperature. Wow. A high of 71, Pat told us. Well, I hope you're having a nice day where you live, because we know we get out all over, everywhere. So tomorrow, I want to remind you, put a string around your finger. It's call-in day. That's right. And after all, it only happens once a year. So would you help us by calling in between the hours of 6 a.m. and 6 p.m.? By the way, our goal is 499 contacts. Can you do that? Can you help us? Yes, you can, if you will. And I know you will. You've been so faithful through the years. And that is so precious to us. It's your chance to get back at us and talk to us. We'd love it. And there's so many ways you can call us now with your iPhone, wherever you are, you can call in. And remember, our one number is the call letters of the radio station, so you can even use that number if you care to. Anyway, contact us, and Pat and I want to have you call on our segment tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 12 a.m. That's a whole hour. Would you take time to call us during that hour? We would just love it. And I want to hear from you. Okay? Well, my verse for the day is 2 Chronicles 16:7. It's a good one. It talks about the eyes of the Lord go throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. What a promise. No matter where you are or who you are, if you are committed to the Lord, He promises to go with you and to strengthen you. I like that promise, don't you? Because we all need encouragement and strength in the Lord. Well, thank you for your patience in allowing me to take several broadcasts, which started out, by the way, on the fact that manners, being mindful of others and respectful of others, and that's actually what manners are, manners do matter. And somehow we've forgotten that they matter. And so I've been talking about the convictions that we grow up with and how important it is to be trained as a child to be respectful and thoughtful of others and to have good manners. So I have actually spent quite a long time talking about Daniel and his three friends and how important it was that their parents, each parent, teaching each boy how to live and how to have manners and strong convictions. So today, if you've been listening lately, you would know that the Holy Spirit has impressed upon my heart the need and the urgency for parents to connect with their children, not only in enjoying each other's company, but especially in strong training. in good values. And I'm sure that you've noticed that our present day culture is centered on me, 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 and I, and I want this and I want that, and this is my opinion. Lots of me's and my's today. And now we need to kind of look back and get back to the togetherness, I guess that's a good word, of the family. Being together, growing together, learning together, connecting. Years ago, there was not all of the attractions that causes us actually as individuals to go our separate ways. You've noticed that, I'm sure, pardon me, you go to the doctor's office and everybody has out their iPads and iPhones and whatever. And they're busy working their fingers, talking on the phones and doing all those things centered around themselves. Where it used to be, you'd go in, sit down by someone, and you'd start talking. You'd maybe introduce yourself to someone and get to know who they are, where they're from, how many children they have. And it was wonderful to get acquainted with people. And I wish we could get back to more of that now so that we could love our neighbor, so to speak. Do you know your neighbor? You know, it's almost gotten bad enough that people don't even know their neighbors. I can remember as a child, our neighbors would come and see us real often, and we'd go to see them and have fellowship and have meals together once in a while and talk about the farming and the gardens and what have you. It seems like those days are very limited anymore. So with all the gadgets at our disposal, every individual seems to be on their own. Very little time for connecting. And I guess I use that word connect because it means to be in touch with one another. Webster Dictionary says, to connect means to join together. And of course, in Bible times, families lived as clans, and they all lived together and worked together and learned lessons together. So I want to bring your attention again the instructions that the Lord gave to Moses to give to the families. And it was over in Deuteronomy 6. And I remind you that Deuteronomy chapter 11 has the same exact wording, except it adds a little bit of heaven. And I'll talk about that when I get to the bottom of the verse. Deuteronomy 6 says, makes it clear now, and here's what it says, instruct your children. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And these words which I command thee today shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently. That means work at it unto your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. Wow. And so this message was so important that the Holy Spirit wrote it twice and added that if you do these things, you will have a little bit of heaven on earth. You're probably wondering, how could you have a little bit of heaven by teaching and working with your children? Well, if you give them God's word, you instruct them in God's word, and you teach them how to live in the word, you'll have so much less stress. That's right, peace and less stress. So that's why the Lord put in a little heaven. If you're a parent or even a grandparent, because there are a lot of grandparents raising their grandchildren now. So if you're out there today and you're listening to me and my voice, I'm sure you're saying, well, Mabel Louise, these are not the days of Moses. So reality is everybody is too busy. Wouldn't you say that? I certainly would. I know I'm busy, and I know if you have children, you're twice as busy as I am. Well, as they did in Bible times, children were in school all day, and parents, of course, were working. And I understand where you're coming from when you say you're so busy. But the challenge is parents must make time. You notice I didn't say take. Make time to train children, your children, to pay the price in the life of the child and in the next generations if you do that. And that's what's happened in our culture today. God's word never changes. It is truth. Thy word is truth. The truth is really that children have to be taught the word of God if they're going to put into practice God's standards. And parents are unable to teach these standards unless they live by the same standards. So I guess what I'm trying to say to you is parents need to buckle up, get busy, check out their own life, and teach their children to live for the Lord. Spend time together. It's absolutely amazing how fast the children grow up and leave the nest. And it's urgent. As the old adage says, make time while the sun shines. Live it while you can. And I've said all of these to lead up to a wonderful example of teenagers who were well-trained, stood for the Lord in difficult circumstances. In order to share the story of Daniel and his friends, I need to tell a bit of the history while Daniel was captured and taken to Babylon. In 1605, King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylonia, fought and captured Jerusalem. Babylonia was the new world power. Nebuchadnezzar was not content with having world power. He also wanted young men to come to Babylon as prospective government personnel. So he forced each captured city to give him the finest of men, teenagers. Among those from Jerusalem were Daniel, his three friends, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. He had specific instructions in selecting these teenagers. First, they were ages between 13 and 15. Secondly, they were to be without defect, that is, no physical or mental handicap. Third, they were to be handsome. Fourth, they were to be teenagers with intelligence in every branch of wisdom and to be endowed with understanding and having discerning knowledge. Wow. Fifth, they had to possess the ability for serving in the king's court. And then last but not least, they were to be put through 3 years of training. In other words, the young people were subjected to a curriculum that was deep in Babylonian philosophy, religion, magic, science, medicine, you name it, they were to know it and learn it. I learned as I was doing my research that Abraham went to school as a young boy in his hometown of Ur. The archaeology expedition that was conducted by Sir Charles Leonard Woolley at Ur of the Chaldees from 1922 to 1934 proved that there were schools in the city of Abraham. Clay tablets were uncovered that indicate some of the subjects that they were taught. This was what they found on the tablets. In arithmetic, they had multiplication and division. Their findings tell us that Abraham came from a city of high civilization. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to reject the God they worshipped and the lifestyle they had lived in Judah. That meant items on the menu were animals sacrificed to gods of Babylon, and the wine from the king's table would have been part of the ritual of pouring out wine in honor of a god. So that meant that even the food and drink that the teenagers were to be served had first been chosen for idols. And so it went on. These four passed the test of faith without compromising their convictions. So I pray that you have been impressed with what I've talked about in these last few weeks and urgently moved to teach your children how to live for the Lord. It's been so good to be with you. Bye-bye.